Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I used to come home for Christmas and my mum would make us a lovely pair of lugs.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show. Smackdown.
It's the 4th of May in the year of our Lord 2000. Frankema's Tucker's Miracles, I can't even say that properly, is still top of the charts. God, I can't talk today. I must need a miracle. Scream 3 beat Kevin and Perry in a handicap match to be number one in the UK box office. And never saw it. Lennox Lewis has defended the IBF and WBC heavyweight titles via second round KO against Michael Grant. Much hyped Michael Grant. Fellower, who's as useless as a marzipan dildo in that fight. Never heard from again. Excitebike 64 was finally released after several months, felt like years, of delays in Europe.
Excitebike! Loved Excitebike on the NES. What a That's game. Right. Amazing.
That was a great game.
It was
brilliant.
I don't
know anybody who's played the N64 version. I don't think it exists. I think it's all in
illusion. No, it does. It does exist.
If only we had a guy who played N64 games. More about him later on.
Yes.
And Guinness's 1999 Surfer advertisement is voted number one in a poll of the top 100 greatest TV adverts of all time.
This tick, tick, follow, tuck.
Bum, 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 bum.
It's to you, Ahab. Why are there horses coming out of the water? I've had too much Guinness.
Bum, 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 bum. Is it a metaphor? Am I pissed? Who knows?
That's all it is. I'm just battered. There's horses coming out of the water, mate. Oh, too much Guinness.
Let's get drunk and go surfing like that Australian Prime Minister. But that were all the things happening in the real world. Who cares about the real world?
Sod the real world. Rubbish.
We have the SmackDown following WWF Backlash 2000. One of the finest pay-per-views WF has put on a fine year for pay-per-view. And wait, what do you mean you don't know about Backlash 2000's watch along? That was last week, silly. Oh, well, don't worry. We'll update you as we go along, or this isn't going to make any sense. But yes, you can go back to the Cultaholic archives, listen to that in full. The illustrious tones of myself, Tom Campbell, and Justin Henry. But let's assume that you've paused this podcast, got and listened to all of that with Backlash 2000 playing on the network, and you're all ready to listen to today's episode of the Cultaholic SmackDown Classic Podcast. Sorry, myself, Mafu, and Tom Campbell, but not Justin Henry. We're sorry about that. Tom, how the hell are you?
Mate, all is all right in the world. I'm having one of those days on day of recording. Do you ever, and I think I've used this reference before, where I feel like I am moving neck deep in treacle, where like everything feels like slow. Everything's fine, just everything feels slow. But on a positive note, a time of recording, just a couple of days ago, I went to my first ever socially distanced gig. It's a gig in the new world, Matthew. And it's, you know what? Ooh. It's the future. It is the future. I was sat outside in a converted race course. And we had, me and the good lady, we had a little pen to ourselves with a table with pitchers of beer brought over to us as the sun set on a beautiful day in Newcastle upon Tyne, just outside of Newcastle upon Tyne, as Bill Bailey made us laugh on the stage. It was a wonderful, wonderful night. And I am genuinely 100% behind the concept of socially distanced gigs from now on. Nobody crashed into me whilst I was getting drinks because everyone's distanced. I had nobody trying to, I didn't have to stand up and do that awkward stand with my back right at the, like right far back so people could walk past me to get to their seat. None of that nonsense. All the room in the world. Drinks brought over. Oh, it was a dream. It was a dream, mate. Big fan of socially distanced gigs. Have you experienced one yet?
No, I just got told that Rise in Newcastle on Grey Street is back open. And I went, get in. And then someone informed me, yes, it is technically open. There's a lot less people there, so which means less queues, which I started dancing around the house going, USA, USA. However, a large part of the appeal of Rise is that it's three different rooms with three different types of music. Still vaguely alternative, which means they, you know, I don't know what they don't play, to be honest with you. It feels like they play everything. But what this means in the current climate is that you have to get a ticket, sit on those little benches they've set up, and stay in your area, which takes away a lot of the fun of Rise on a normal week. And I was told that for a place that has a middle floor that is usually dedicated to metal and rock and dubstep, because somebody looked at them and went, that's what kids like, apparently they played an hour of rap. And I've nothing against rap music, but I'm just saying, if it's advertised as metal and they play something that isn't metal, it's not the best look, especially when usually you could just walk away. And I imagine if you stood up to walk away, a big bouncer put his hands on his shoulders and get, step away from the Queen's Guard, or anything like that.
Stop, you violated the law.
Yeah. But I imagine this is fun for DJs at this point, because if anybody goes up to the DJs and starts, hey, can I make a request? They go, ooga, ooga, get back, you bastard, or break your legs.
Hell of a reference to start us off.
Thank you. I don't know where that came from. So not yet, but I live in hope. Apart from that, I don't know what else to be doing with life. Apart from I've tried to book in, it's a bit off the deep end, but I'll be proof about it. Me and a friend found out that there's a sensory deprivation place in Heaton. So we're trying to book in when we can go do it and submerge ourselves in a big water tank. Wow. With no sense of audio, no sense of balance, no sense of seeing, and just no sense of self, I guess. And either it will be a fantastic experience and I will learn a lot about myself introspectively, or I'll go nuts.
I like the idea of an entire room where there is no sense to be found. Or as we call it, the WWE Performance Centre. Oh! Bah, 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 bah! Bah, 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 bah! Bah, 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 bah! Anyway.
Damn, sounds... son. How'd you find this?
Oh, I smoke weed every day. yeah, that sounds really ace, though. I love the idea of sensory disbursement. I like it. Very intrigued. Let me know how it goes, because if it's good for you, then I'll go and try it myself.
Yeah, if you ever hear from me again, you'll know what happened.
Right, enough of that, mate, because we're meant to be in the past, aren't we? Here we are in 2020.
Oh, yeah, right.
We're meant to be in the past. Ooh, hey.
We'll do the transition scene they do in Wayne's World. Whoa. Whoa, we just landed here. On the 5th, no, knackered already, the 4th of April, 4th of, in 2000 sometime.
You're topic, reaching I'm for so May the 4th, mate.
Right, I am so used to writing things American style now in the dating system that I look at 05/04/2000 and go, Christ, that could be anything. So we're after backlash. Whoa, we just landed here in the year 2000. Wait, what's this bit of paper blowing in the wind towards it? It's Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer newsletter. Oh, I can't read these childish scribbles. If only someone could If only someone could have a read through and to explain it all to us.
Oh, but it's all in big paragraphs with no full stops. It's all in chicken scratch, mate.
I was listening to, before you go, that I was listening to the most recent Conrad Thompson, Eric Bischoff, 83 weeks, and Conrad reads out Dave Meltzer's interpretation of an angle on impact. And Bischoff just goes, whoa, 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 all right, stop, stop. Like, you can't just read it out how Meltzer's written it. It literally gives me vertigo.
God, look, he does write as he talks. So that, and he, do you know what? There is something to be said that when you're turning around a lot of content, sometimes the quality can suffer when it's a high turnaround and you are basically a one-man wrestling news machine with Zed's appropriate
places. You do all right, Tom.
I don't know. There's been some ropey cuts in the Cultaholic Wrestling News podcast.
Okay, fair enough.
I've had a few quiet private DMs going, Tom, were you meant to leave that coughing fit in? that was pre-COVID, by the way. I haven't come to work and coughed since then. But yeah, so I will translate the Wrestling Observer for this particular week. May the 4th, 2000. A year ago, May the 4th would have been hilarious because episode 1, The Phantom Menace, came out. But it'll be another 2 years before we get another Star Wars film, and it's Attack of the Clones, so good luck with that. But in the wrestling world, though, some notes from some of the more prominent places. Do you remember Ken Shamrock?
No.
No, me neither. Ken Shamrock, just a couple of days before this, reappeared. He reemerged like a Pokemon in the wild. He did an MMA show at the Tokyo Dome, tapping out Alexander Osuka and earning $350,000 in the process. So Kenny's doing all right. He's in the wilderness now, fighting, where he'll be until Impact or TNA Wrestling is born in 2002.
It's funny that they brought him back, just as a quick aside. Apparently Ken Shamrock said, or at least committed to a show in 97 that was going to happen in Japan. I can't remember if it was New Japan or not. I'm on his Wikipedia, source of all information we know. What he was going to be doing, I think it was Hashimoto. And it would have been a Tokyo Dome. It would have been a big, big effing deal. He said he was going to do it and then just signed with WWF. So they're very forgiving in Japan for going, all right.
They just saw money, didn't they? And as did Ken. So that was good.
Well, good for them for not going, you know what, Ken? I'm sorry to tell you this, but tonight's match in the Tokyo Dome with Pancras rules is a handicap match.
Little note from EC Dub for this particular week. Apparently WWF and WCW have expressed an interest in Lance Storm. Neither side have made a serious offer, so Heyman is approaching Storm this week with an incentive-based contract to stay and stick around, promising a program with Just Incredible for the ECW title, which would have been intriguing, which, as we know, may or may not happen.
It's like when you ask your boss for a promotion, he goes, there's just not enough money in the budget, but we'll have a Pizza Friday.
There's not enough money in the budget, but I can give you a program with Just Incredible.
Right.
Vampiro in the news this week.
Oh, here we go. This is the highlight of the podcast.
This is great. This is a wrestler doing a U-turn visible from Mars. So Vampiro had a contract dispute at the end of last month, which resulted in him storming out of WCW, putting a call into the WWF. And literally, so what happened is, I'm going to try and reenact what basically happened over the space of a couple of days. I want more money. Right. In that case, I'll go somewhere else. Okay. Bye. Door slam. Phone. Hello? WWF? I'm ready. Okay. Bye. Hang up. WCW? I'm ready to come back for less money. That's essentially what happened.
And they went, Shane Douglas, we've already re-signed you.
So, yeah, Vamp tried to leave and he rang WWF. And as soon as they played his music, he walked back into WCW and apologized and signed a brand new deal with them. Bret Hart is returning on May the 15th. He is going to be on every Nitro and Thunder going forward. So it says here. And
what?
Yeah, apparently he's going to be. I think he's missing maybe two because there's depositions for the Owen Hart lawsuit. He's missing two, but he's apparently going to be on all of them going forward. And Dusty Rhodes is coming back. He's going to be part of some. They're going to be rebadging some old Crockett tapes to make some money. And Dusty's going to do some wraparounds for them. It will lead to more stuff with Dusty in WCW very soon. Also, speaking of the Rhodes family, I want to drop this bit in because you're going to get a kick out of this. There is some talk, says Dave, that Dustin will be taking on a character as legally close to Goldust as they'll be able to legally get away with.
Oh, no.
We know who this is, don't we?
Oh, no, wait, it can't be Seven.
Why?
Because that was last year.
I thought it hadn't happened yet. Is this 2000? When did Seven come in?
Seven was 99.
Oh, I thought this was Seven.
I would have thought so as well. No, it definitely, because he did the work shooty thing, which, as Vince Russo's grubby, stained fingerprints all over.
Oh, yeah, my apologies. I got quite excited then.
I don't know what this is then, if he's going to take on...
I don't think so.
It can't be Black Rain.
No, because we have quite a few years away from meow, 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 that particular treat landing. So we're not sure what that becomes. I don't think this becomes anything then, but it's certainly something that is out in the news this week. From the world of the World Wrestling Federation, Judgment Day shaping up to see Rock versus Triple H in a stipulation to be added later to the date. Shawn Michaels set to return in his old commissioner role sometime soon.
Wow, it's almost as if those are the same story.
There was a wrestler who had a dark match doing a rap gimmick that caught a few eyes by the name of Ron Killings.
Yay.
K-Crush slowly on his way in. And this is a cool little footnote from history. This is quoted directly from the Wrestling Observer. WWF has talked with the current NCAA heavyweight champion, who has a great look for wrestling. He's 6'3", 265 pounds, a tremendous physique, and looks like the blonde-haired version of Steve Austin, but only larger. Both WWF and WCW have expressed interest in him, and he has met with Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo too. Since the meeting, he spoke with Gerald Briscoe and Kurt Angle and indicated to them that he was leaning towards WWF. If he signs and has a meeting next week in Stamford, he would start in OVW as his assistant coach at the University of Minnesota, and former training partner is already there.
He is said to have a... Oh, Tom, why are you boring us all with this inconsequential news story of somebody who never went anywhere? Hurry it up. Who? Come on.
I am, of course, talking about Brock Lesnar. Who is on the cusp of signing with WWF at this point. And I enjoy how it's just like a casual footnote in the Observer. Like, there's this... And, you know, I even remember, and I wasn't like an in-depth wrestling fan at this point, but I recall talk of a big lad potentially coming in. I'm sure it was mentioned in Powerslam about a guy called Brock Lesnar. I'm sure it was.
I think World of Wrestling covered that, but I sometimes get him confused with the other lad, Rulon Gardner, the man who had the enormous upset in the 2000 Olympics, who they said the WWF were interested in, but then nothing ever happened. He actually beat the Russian dude who was unbeaten in 13 years, and this farmer's kid came along and just treated him like he was a sheep. Fantastic. But he wouldn't come with it. But yes, the Lesnar thing is it's funny seeing what would happen. And it's also funny thinking that Gerald Briscoe was there talking to him. And I imagine McMahon somewhere went, all right, Gerald, go and see if you can take him down. Okay, Mr. McMahon.
McMahon
attacking up. Mr. Burns beating that man with the baseball bat. Excuse me, sir, what are you doing? I'm giving you the beating of your life. Okay, he's good, McMahon. He's real. He's legit.
Stunning. Well, that's the wrestling news for this week. That's where we're at for May the 4th, year of our Lord 2000. Over to my colleague, Matthew Gregg, who is going to talk us through an episode of SmackDown this week with some highs, some lows, and some creamy middles.
Thank you for that fabulous segue. I can't wait for the creamy middles myself. Well, SmackDown, unlike last week, we do get the dramatic recap from Raw. It's another cool video package that uses that song that samples the door opening sound effect from Doom again. And yes, I am a sad enough bastard to know this, because even though it's one of those audio library effects, it is and will always be recognized as the noise the doors make in Doom when they open.
Oh, it really is, isn't it?
Apparently this episode of Doctor Who I probably said this last time. So it was her and Doctor Who, like New Who, where they're in Mars.
New Who.
DuckTales.
New Who.
Where they're like, they're in hell, and like a door opens and it has the Doom sound effect because, you know, it's Doom. Vince McMahon promises The Rock will have the shortest WWF title reign ever as he'll be taking on Shane McMahon in the steel cage tonight. Oh, I thought they were going to have Mr. Fuji throw salt in his eyes 2 minutes after Backlash finished, but never mind. Pat Patterson is the guest referee for this cage match, and the entire McMahon-Helmsley regime are around the cage, so it's a fair fight. Shane McMahon tries climbing over it, but The Rock KOs Shane on one of the cameras on top of the cage, so Shane is left there dangling like one of those Garfield sticker things you put on the side of your car window. Then The Rock sends him back into the ring from off the top. As Triple H destroys Rock in the cage, Earl freaking Hebner runs in to slam the door on Triple H as he tries to exit, and Rock is able to escape the cage. Man, the WWF really liked the day after the pay-per-view, Rock gets the crap kicked out of him in a cage thing. It's at least three times I can think of, and we've had two this year.
Do you know who else also liked it?
Who?
All of the wrestling fans. This is an incredible footnote from the history of Raw. Okay, get this. Rock versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage on Raw drew the highest number in ratings at that point in modern wrestling history. 8.23 million people watched Rock versus Shane McMahon. Over 8 million. Mind-blowing. When you compare where we're at Raw ratings-wise in this day and age, and I know the world is very different 20 years on. Yeah. I know it's very different 20 years on. But that's an incredible number. They were going up against WCW that has, as well as its usual fare, as well as Stone Cold Hulk Hogan, they had Courtney Cox, Kurt Russell, and the new WCW champion, David Arquette. And they just about scraped a 2.5 against Raw's 8.2.
Yeah, but bro, TV guide.
Throws a TV guide at you and runs out of the room.
8 million. The TV guide, dude. Anyway, we're in Richmond, Virginia, with the witty woo, witty wah. I've been to Richmond, Virginia. It's all right. It's not quite Darlington, but it'll do. And we start with Richmond's own Earl Hebner. And he's being reinstated as a referee by Linda McMahon. People will be paying attention this week after week, and there are some people going, wait, what happened there? Earl Hebner was suspended. No, he wasn't. He was fired, I should say, after he fast counted Chris Jericho pinning Triple H for the world title. And then Triple H said, hey, no. And I went, all right, you got a point. But if I'm reinstated, if I read the reverse decision, I do not want to be harmed while I'm an employee of WWE. And you got it, Earl. You're fired. Pedigree. But now, Linda McMahon, the great resetter, has put Earl Hebner back here. And I'm just getting you guys ready. I hope you guys love Earl Hebner as much as this episode of SmackDown does. Because this episode of SmackDown adores Earl. And we start off with Chris Jericho versus Chris Benoit, the IC rematch from Backlash. That ended via DQ after Jericho got the belt up and Benoit decided the best thing to do was to headbutt it with no lasting issues whatsoever. And it's an intense Canadian stare down to begin as the two can barely leave each other alone as they brawl around the ring. Lawler gets a line, Hebner's from Richmond. He lets his 12-year-old daughter smoke at the dinner table in front of her kids. And that joke aside, these two are tearing each other apart like Poundland toilet paper, with Jericho getting a double underhook powerbomb. And I don't know why, maybe he's not used to wrestling someone like Benoit. And he ends up, as he drops him, shoving his head in the groin for extra measure. Wasn't supposed to happen, but it did look effective. And then Benoit's nose gets re-bust after denting it. At Backlash, he gets re-broken. I think that's how it works. So now it looks like Wade Barrett. Lawler, Hebner's been married 3 times, and he still has the same in-laws.
Oh, God.
It's a good night for Lawler. More hot action ends with Jericho turning a sunset flip into a Walls of Jericho, which then gets turned into a crossface, which doesn't work, so Benoit dunks him out the ring. As Benoit goes to continue kicking in Jericho, Hebner stops him, so Benoit pushes him, so Hebner pushes back to a big pop, and Benoit responds by pushing the official out the ring, allowing Jericho to twat him with the IC belt and finish with the lion salt. Monster Pop for the match, Jericho and Earl Hebner, who, judging by this, is scheduled for a monster push and a Euro title run. What do you think so far, Tom?
Good match. Hebner-mania is running wild. it was fine. I liked it. And I like Jericho winning the IC title here. Benoit re-breaking his nose and losing the Intercontinental Championship was quite a moment as well. I liked it. Strong way to start the entire night.
Yes, I thought so.
Although, absolutely, as you say, like, it is the sign of things to come tonight with Hebner-mania running wild in Richmond.
Yes, not that we encourage it, but for some people, there's not a lot else to be doing. If you have a drink, it doesn't have to be alcohol, can be coffee or sparkling water. You can have a shot every time Earl Hebner is mentioned. So,
oh, get yourself battered.
That's right, you'd be nice and giggly. Backstage, the McMahons show up, and then they head to the ring. I love it, because obviously you watch it on the network, there's no advert break, so it's just, look who it is, the McMahons! And their face are black, and it's, they're heading to the ring! Loses a bit of the suspense, really. When they're in the ring, Vince McMahon, how nice it is to be in Richmond, Virginia. Jerry Lawler, hey, he said that with a straight face. Vince brings up this place as being historically relevant about being the head of the Confederacy and how some famous VA people are from here. Crowd doesn't care about them or Virginia and chants for Rocky. Vince, you're interrupting my speech. The crowd, oh, sorry about that. Please carry on. Vince reminds us that the arena is mostly known, oh, the area, not the arena, is mostly known recently as Corrupt Officials. The home of Earl Hebner, which gets a second big pop. So it's only fair tonight, in this very ring, which the crowd chants along with, which I love, Hebner will make his in-ring debut as a wrestler. Crowd chants, asshole. Vince, don't say that about Earl.
That's good, actually. That does make me laugh.
So tonight, Earl Hebner is teaming with The Rock versus X-Pac in the, I quote, the road doggy doggy. I love old people's inability to not get their heads behind a guy called Snoop Doggy Dog, by the way. So you hear stuff like, the road doggy doggy.
Really? I never noticed that as an issue.
Oh, maybe it's just a late 90s thing, but if you'll just try to get their head around, like, what? Snoop Doggy Dog? Like, why is his name twice? maybe it's the old people I hung out with in the 90s. Oh, and also, Triple H will be there. Oh, sod it. He's in the arena. He's all oiled up. You know what? Let's just make it 3-on-2. Oh, and it's for the WWF title. So if anyone of Rock's team gets pinned, he loses the title. And Lawler gets a quick thing saying, if only Al Gore had Vince's charisma. Which I think was a genuine thing, to be honest with you. But we'll leave that alone. So what do you think about this segment, Tom?
Every episode of SmackDown seems to feature, I seem to remember hearing Michael Cole say, here's the McMahons. What have they got planned for The Rock tonight? I feel like that happens every week. Same way you say that every Raw ends with a Rock getting battered in a cage. I feel like every SmackDown starts with, oh, what do the McMahons have planned for The Rock tonight? And it's always right. Shenanigans like this. Hebner in the main event. It's funny because they put him out there in the opening match. And I don't know whether it was a case of they wanted to remind people that he was from there. Then they wanted to involve him early. But we are going to see a lot of Earl Hebner tonight. And it's just the fact that we're even referencing him here. A lot going on. But more bad intentions for The Rock as WWF champion. I'm excited for come post King of the Ring, which is still a few months away, where we do start to move away from it's Rock versus the McMahon Helmsleys. Like this is a trope that will continue for a few more months yet, where it'll be SmackDown very much has become that show already in its life cycle, which on the whole, with the exception of like the odd IC title change that we've already seen, kind of becomes the sort of the hold steady for the company. So nothing really big happens until Raw. But then on SmackDown, it'll be like a tag match or something just to keep all the feuds bubbling over.
Well said. This is the Be Steady, and Raw is the Bebop.
Nice. Rock Steady's the Bebop.
Long way to go for that. So there's a weird promo that follows with small girls singing nursery rhymes and something about Judgment Day. I remember watching these as a kid and going, what the bloody hell's this? Like, there was no hint. There's no, like, subtlety, like, hey, Judgment Day. You know, who likes Judgment Days? What? Dead guys in their 40s with tattoos of their girlfriends on their necks? What? The Undertaker. The Undertaker's coming back, you idiot. Oh, right, okay. So what did you think of these promos back in the day, Tom?
They're fine. There's not much else to say about them, really. They're fine.
Oh, okay. So was it? I'm glad it wasn't just me, because upon reflection, when I say, are you scared? He's here, and he comes back. It's like, oh, that kind of works.
I liked how I didn't necessarily know it was connected to The Undertaker. So I quite enjoyed the surprise when Undertaker rocks up. Spoiler. It was a bit different. I think the style was stood out to what was normally put out in the WWF at this point. Like, the spoopiness was very unexpected. And I think it's fine. I had no idea that it was going to end up being Undertaker, which was a nice surprise. I'm sure clever people will listen to this and go, well, I always knew it would be Undertaker. That's fine. A 16-year-old me didn't necessarily know it was going to be Undertaker, but I liked it.
Yeah. And segue right into the SmackDown debut of Edge and Christian's personalities.
Yeah! Gosh! That seemed to happen overnight, didn't it?
It certainly did. They're getting made up with relaxing facials, you know, to remove the smell of ass from their faces, because on Raw, Shokishi gave them stink faces. It turns out to be the best stink face they ever had, because right now they're obnoxious, they're being prima donnas. They don't enjoy the smell of ass on their face, so it turns out to be a very successful thing for them. So maybe they should thank both of Rikishi's butt cheeks. Moving away. Eddie Guerrero and Mama Sita are here. JR said it was around this time. Oh, no, sorry. Here we go. I wrote this a week ago, so some of this is new to me. Jim Ross, on his podcast of Comrades, said it was around this time China was in a negative place because of finding out about the Triple H split. And also China was wanting to be part of the Million Dollar Club, with Triple H, Austin, and Rock, and felt she deserved it. WWF were like, you're good, but, you know, you're not headlining. So, I think we're on the slippery, slippery slope of what would be the end of China in WWF, but that's not for a while yet. But right now, she's got a good thing going, even if things backstage aren't quite that good, because her and Mama Sita have magnificent chemistry. And if you don't believe me, then you should check out the intergender tag match that we just saw at Backlash, which saw Eddie Guerrero wrestling, not just with dress shoes, but with a little bow tie. And afterwards, despite winning the match, their heated rivals, Ese Rios and Lita, stripped China of her PED gown, as it's known, to show off her undergarments, to the point where China was just like, eh, whatever, I've got it all flaunted.
Yeah, that's how that was the wrap-up of that, wasn't it? It was just, hey! Yeah. I've got a nice buddy anyway.
Yeah. And Eddie was like, China was like, my God, Eddie, can you believe it? And Eddie's like, China's like, yeah, you know what? And because of this on Raw, they did the same to Lita. Stripped her of her dignity before Edge would. So it's on tonight's SmackDown. Lita steals China's roses and throws them into the crowd. And it must have been a hell of a shot because the camera crew did not get it. So it went right into the cheap seats, like Johnny Wilco. And Ese Rios flips out of a hold, but falls up with a wild stumble. I wish when I typed this, I typed out what match it was. That would have been nice. Is it a tag match? It's an intergender tag match. There it is, buried in this review, like the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's an intergender tag match between Ese Rios and Lita versus Mama Sita and China. So Ese flips out of a hold, follows with a wild stumble. But Ese Rios follows this by pushing China off the apron. Oof. I don't know how he managed it. I mean, physics alone, it wouldn't have worked. Lita runs away from China due to the size difference, the same way China would run away from losing to Lita in 2001, just saying. And some nice stuff here with Eddie and China working together, and then some wonky stuff with China just by herself. She's still not exactly Carl Gotch in the ring. Lita finally tags in after avoiding it all match, and China simply powerbombs the hell out of her then press slams her and pins her with one foot. Pretty definitive there, I thought, Tom.
Yeah, I think, and what sucks is it's pretty much the same match they have a year from now. When
absolutely
China becomes the women's champion and defends against Lita. Both grow so much in the next 12 months. But yet when they meet and have a match at Backlash, it's like, oh, it's this again. It's China's dominance taking hold once more. But that bit kind of sucks.
Yeah, China's suddenly Mil Mascaras. Like, no job, no job.
Mil Mascara.
Oh,
oh! Blah, 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 blah. Smoke blah, weed blah, every day. I've been watching some Scope videos from off of 2010.
Tom, download dubstep.exe.
No, because it's not dubstep.wav that I want. It's
oh no.
I've got to download WinRAR and it'll extract a lot of viruses.
Test has dubstep.jpg.
No, test has dubstep.bitmap. Steve, why can't send this file? It's too big. Because it's a wave and a bitmap, you clown. I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know what you mean. Steve, is this a WAP?
I've got WAP.WAP. I thought that would make it sound better. Is that how it works? I went and converted my entire iTunes music library by changing the name of the song to the file extension to Firestarter.Firestarter. Oh, PC doesn't work anymore. Bloody Windows.
I don't understand, Steph.
There's Albert in the other room listening to .flack.
Steph, I got this on WAP. Steph, do you want to send you that on WAP?
Steph.
We're starting early with this, Steph, balls, aren't Steph, we?
Steph, what? Test, what? Ring me. You're right next to me. Why do you want me to ring you? Ring me, just ring me. All right. Do you like it? Test, please answer your phone. I don't know how. Albert just Baldo bombs it.
Steph, moving on. Steph, ring me. All right, here you go. It's good, isn't it? Got it from freewapringtones.org.
I mean, it cost me $20.
Oh no, they've got my card. Oh, Steph, 300 quid's come out. Don't even want a firewall.
All this time, Tess looks up and it's just actually one of those big standees of Steph. Steph, you're being quiet today. Steph's in your room going, oh, best $50 I ever spent. Kurt Angle is here, straight from the premiere of Gladiator. It's a film. Have you seen Gladiator, Tom?
I have indeed, yes. My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, father to a murdered wife, husband to a murdered dog, and I'm a mother, writer, and pioneer woman. Here's what's happening today on the ranch. I think that's
I'm a
Gladiator.
Bitch, I'm a lover. I'm a sinner and a saint. Hey, lifts his hands up. The entire room will see him sing the rest of the song.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, mother to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife. I'm a savage, classy, bougie, ratchet, sassy, moody, nasty. Is that it? And I'll have my vengeance now or later.
Tom, you've been ridiculous. The year 2000 is a very serious podcast. It goes, my name is Kid.
What's and your name?
All the other gladiators go, oh, with the ball, the bang, the bang, diggy, 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 up, dub, the boogie.
If that is how Gladiator ended, it would have been a 5-star film.
Only the director's cut, but you know,
just him slashing off the head of the emperor is going, ball with the ball, the bang, the bang, diggy. I'm going to break your face tonight.
My only words of wisdom are radio edit.
What a time. What a time 2000 was.
Yeah. Kurt Angle has an issue with Hardcore Holly. because his name reminds him of pornography. The crowd cheers.
That is literally it.
Kurt Angle says this is the state that says, Virginia is for lovers. Kurt adds, as long as they're not related. Crowd boos. Hardcore Holly says, Virginia may be for lovers, but it ain't for 30-year-old virgins who are about to get their ass kicked.
Why is Holly randomly a good guy now?
He's always been a good guy.
Oh, has he? That's crazy.
See, as a kid, I didn't like, wow, why is Hardcore Holly in his 30s and miserable? But now I'm in my 30s and miserable. I'm like, Hardcore Holly, yes.
Now you get it.
Suddenly it all makes sense.
After you've been a failed driver, failed NASCAR driver.
Hey, look, if you were called Sparky Plug for the rest of your career, first half of your career, you'd be a miserable get as well.
I'd be called worse.
Hardcore Holly says that story in his kayfabe commentary's interview. He's like, you sat on a plane. Say, what was your action to be called Sparky Plug? So he sat on a plane one time, the guy next to him. I'm like, oh, what do you do? He's like, no. Well, I'm a wrestler. All right, cool. What's your name? What? Sparky Plug. So I speak up, pal. I can't hear. Sparky Plug. And then Sean Careless laughs at that and goes, yeah, that was his reaction as well.
And he sat next to Duke Drosy at the time on the dumpster.
Yeah.
Savage Boozy Ratchet.
Hardcore Holly responds when he says Virginia's not for 30-year-old virgins. Lola says, hey, I know if a fat Kurt ain't 30. And Holly starts off the match by straight away powerbombing the hell out of Kurt. And some awkwardness here after that I wouldn't have expected. Maybe Angle was quaking in fear of the might of Hardcore Holly, star of that one film with Ron Perlman. Kurt fakes a knee injury, and the referee gets mad that Hardcore Holly won't stop hitting him as the referee's trying to check on him. So the referee shoves Hardcore Holly right into a German suplex for the Kurt win. I don't know why you would have two referees shoving wrestlers on the same show, especially when one of them was only because it's Earl Hebner's state. Apparently Earl Hebner's as loved here as, you know, Gaza is in Gateshead. But Hardcore Holly follows with the dropkick and then a Falcon Arrow onto a chair. And as we all know, no one kicks out of that.
No.
What do you think, Tom?
I thought it was funny how desperate they were to put Holly over here. Because it's like so many other people and like legacy people in the WWF have faced Angle and not got their heat back at the end. Angle's just won and then, okay, well, off to the next thing we go. But Holly, promo at the beginning. I'm going to beat you up, you virgin. Lot of offense against Angle. A screwy way to lose, and then at the end beats him up. Like, why are we so desperate to make sure that Holly gets the shine at the end here when you've got Kurt friggin' Angle in there, who you are building for great things? Why are we so desperate to make sure that Holly gets the shine at the end?
I don't know about the shine on the end. Maybe we'll get a rematch on Raw, or maybe even Sunday Night Heat. But I like the fact that they had something rather than just, we're going to have a match here. This is what I like about this period. There is actually some... The reasons for some of these matches.
There was a bit of meat on the bone.
Especially with Kurt. Kurt and the microphone. It doesn't matter what he says there. It doesn't matter. He'll have heat. The next guy doesn't need to say anything. It's like, perfect. Kurt set it up. All I need to do is put a dot on the end.
Nice.
Like how me and you work. Anyway.
Put a dot on you.
You do all the work. What a good point, Tom. And it's like, well, Matthew and Tom have such great chemistry.
Don't you give away our secrets.
Moving on. The Rock, the People's Champion, is out now on VHS and that fancy new DVD format. And that is his first home video release, which is amazing to think.
Do you remember your first wrestling VHS?
Ooh, I have to think now. I probably bought rather than record off TV.
The first one that you bought. I'll tell you mine while you're thinking. Mine was WrestleMania 12. My dad bought it. Oh, no. Was it WrestleMania 12? It was either WrestleMania 12 or it was Breakdown in Your House 1998. I seem to remember seeing that in HMV in my home city. And I had money from my job at the time. I've been paid that day, and I went, I'm going to go treat myself to a wrestling video cassette tape. The idea of not just having everything at your fingertips, having to go into town to buy a videotape and not even know the quality. Like, you couldn't check what Meltzer rate. Well, you could, but I didn't. Check what Meltzer rated a pay-per-view. And Breakdown, it was all right. It wasn't great. but I got it because of you had Steve Austin, The Rock, and Kane. No, Steve Austin, Triple H. No, not what am I talking about? Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and Kane on the front. It was there were two triple threat matches at Breakdown 98. I know you already know this listening, because when you think wrestling, you think, oh, Breakdown 98. Exactly. It was Steve Austin versus The Undertaker versus Kane in a match where Kane couldn't pin Undertaker and Undertaker couldn't pin Kane. So it was Vince stacking the deck against Austin. How history repeats itself. And also a triple threat steel cage match. Mankind versus The Rock versus Ken Shamrock. And that was like, for me, I was like, what? A steel cage match is one thing. A triple threat steel cage match. My little brain was, mine was blown by that concept. So I had to get that videotape.
Yeah, and that's easily the best match on that show. I think it's most remembered for. And especially the three promos before that, where Mankind is just on fire at that point. Ken Shamrock does this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stiff New Japan when they book me, and then hope that they rebook me in 2000. And then the Rock's just like, hi, I'm The Rock, and I'm really charismatic. The crowd's like, you are, you are. That's also the one where has Triple H on the poster. Don't think it's on the video. He was supposed to defend his European title, or was it the IC title, I forget at that point. And he couldn't because he got injured on the Sunday Night Heat before that. And it was that period where they had to keep on doing screwy stuff. Be like, why is Triple H not here? Oh, no reason. And so eventually the point where I think they switched it was that the Owen Hart Goldust one, where Goldust was dressed as Triple H, and Slaughter just went, you know what, sod it. You keep on running out and trying to avoid getting pinned. Let's just say Owen Hart's the champ. Because he pinned Goldust dressed up as Triple H.
Oh, yes, I remember this.
Yeah, because he was physically incapable of doing it. So
they did some Russo-esque shenanigans to get the belt over to Owen.
Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm going off on tangents. The question you asked me, the first video, I think it was King of the Ring 99. Nice. Which is a hell of a tape to get. And I remember vividly, we had a babysitter come round. She was older than me, mum. And she was like, well, would you watch something? Yeah, let's watch King of the Ring 99 again. Because, you know, when you got one video, what else are you going to do? And we put that on, and her eyes were bugging out at every time there was an ass or a hell or anything. So you can imagine how much she enjoyed Billy Gunn. She's like, what? Your parents let you watch that? Yeah, it's great. He's ass man. He's like, let us sing the song to you. She's like, no, no. Oh, she was freaking out. She was great. She was. I hope she was hamming it up.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't tell my very Christian mum at the time. Have you seen this? I'm like, no, shut up, you.
Good choice on the old VHS front. You had the ladder match between Austin and the McMahons. Billy Gunn as King of the Ring. That was the one. I remember this. That was the video they released where they put out... This was their attempt to play Red Herring. Do you remember this?
I remember it.
Because they put out a... Well, share what happened. This is WWF's attempt at Red Herring booking in 99.
Yeah. They... accidentally, I hope that translates, they didn't accidentally, put the red herring out that said that the King of the Ring back cover would say, see Big Show win King of the Ring 99. Like, relive the happy moments of Big Show winning this tournament on this tape.
Yeah.
Months before it happened. I mean, months, weeks, getting too much credit in 99. And of course he didn't win. Billy Gunn won. But most people were like, yeah, we thought Billy Gunn was going to win, to be honest with you. So it didn't really work. It was 99, Russo era. It's fine. Don't think about too much. Just as long as no one else, Billy Gunn's their King of the Ring.
Do you want me to share with you a one-star review of The Rock, the People's Champion?
Please do.
So I went to Amazon, and you can still buy the VHS and the DVD if you so require. And
it is weird that Amazon is still selling VHS.
It's great. It's great. I've got a whole bunch I need to flog. There is one-star review that was written, presumably with angry fingers, on the 8th of March 2001 that says, and it was from somebody, I haven't got the email address in front of me, but the email address was york.ac. So presumably like from the York University of York. very angry. Oh dear, says this review. The Rock is so poor. I've seen some bad finishes. But the people's elbow takes the biscuit. It is more ridiculous than Ronnie Garner's 360-degree stomp. I think they meant Ronnie Garvin. And as far as
Garner.
Wasn't Ronnie Garner... Isn't that shampoo? Oh, it's Garnier, isn't it? And as far as his other wrestling is concerned, The Rock is a third-rate Hulk Hogan. His interviews are very samey. I would suggest buying Halloween Havoc 1993 before this. The Rock is worse than S.A. Rios, Thrasher, and even the present-day Hacksaw Jim Duggan, whom I think should join in the inferior WCW. Just take it, Rock. Take it away. Take it away.
Did he forget the catchphrase? Just take it, as The Rock likes to say now and again.
It's a great review. It just made me smile.
Oh, we've come for your scrappy fridge. We're going to take it to the yard. Just take it.
Just
The Rock.
Take it.
Bloody hell. Oh. That's a good... I would like to listen to that man's podcast. Oh, no, wait. That sounds like 95% of wrestling podcasts.
That is pretty much all of them.
Yes. That's the closest we've got to podcasts back in the day. Amazon reviews. S.A. Rios is better than The Rock. 1 star. People are just like, yeah, how long is it?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Dwayne Johnson versus Papi Chulo would be a hell of a fight.
He would. The Rock's so good, he would definitely sell S.A. Rios and he... Falls trying to do an elevated arm drag off the top rope.
He would give S.A. Rios a 2.9 count.
The crowd can't keep their hands off them.
It's good like that.
But don't worry, they're completely ass-free tonight. And one of them will be taking on Rikishi. But before we get to that, never mind that. Another segue. Judgment Day 2000 is brought to you by Army Men World War.
Army Men,
of all the game series to exist that could have sponsored this bloody pay-per-view, for people who don't remember Army Men, there were 20 games released before 3DO's bankruptcy, 5 of which came out in 2000, and none of them got above 2 stars. All right? But they were every bloody where, and I never knew anybody who bought one or played one, and yet everyone just knew about it. And they're sponsoring Judgment Day 2000. Did you ever play any bloody Army Men games?
I sadly didn't. I remember my time working at Game, there was loads of Army Men games in the pre-owned section. So that said everything for me in terms of the quality. But
wow, I'm shocked, Tom.
What happened to Army Men? What happened to the 3DO company more than anything? Because obviously these were the guys that were pumping out games for the 3DO, which was the ill-fated 91... video game console that was set to take over the world, and then it didn't. In fact, if you look, right, I've just jumped onto Wikipedia, and if you look at the list of published games for the 3DO, or the developed games for 3DO, a third of that list is Army Men games.
Yeah.
They just went to town on this franchise, didn't they? They were literally, pardon my language, shitting out games at this point. That's an amazing turnaround. Like, all of these games are like within a few months of each other, and they all look the same.
Yep. And look, I'm having a look at the 3DO games, and it's all the games that came out were then like immediately ported to a much better Gex. I remember that being a thing. Gex. You have to get it for Gex. Oh, it's off the PlayStation. Road Rash, and you're like, okay, it's off the Mega Drive 6 years earlier. The Need for Speed. Don't worry, I think they'll have a few more sequels.
Is anybody doing a Twitch stream of 3DO games?
Oh, good luck getting that to work.
I'm just looking for ways to corner the Twitch market is all.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. You spent half the time going, no, you're thinking of the Jaguar.
That's what we'll call the stream. You're thinking of the Jaguar. The best of 3DO.
Yeah, the one that you forget exists. The one that was like the M2 but came out. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so anyway, please let us know your thoughts on Army Men, if any of them are any good, because I swear there was more Army Men than the word Dudleys.
I like the stank that you put on Army Men when you say it.
Brought to you tonight, Judgment Day 2000, WF, Never Been Hotter, sponsored by Army Men. If Judgment Day 2000 does a bad buy rate, it's because of that and that alone.
I've just pulled up Army Men World War on Metacritic, and I'm just looking at some of the reviews, and they're all
worse
quite...
than S.A. Rios.
not one of these is worse than S.A. Rios. I tell a lie. There's an 85% review here on Metacritic that says a solid game that surprised me with its heavy action and interesting scenery. And then there is a 1% review that says, to be honest, there were so many of these Iron Man games that were released back in the day of the PS1. It was impossible to keep track of them all. World War may or may not have been the first to be released on Sony's console, but it was certainly the only one I had the misfortune to play, having rented it from a local video store. Put simply, nothing works about this game. The graphics are horrendous, the enemy AI is non-existent, and the controls are incredibly imprecise. Just avoid this one.
There we go. That sounds like a review not written by the publisher, like the one you looked at previously. I was surprised at Army Men. You shouldn't have that. That should be on your CV as a reason not to be employed.
0%.
What was the last time you were challenged by a situation at work? Army Men World War.
Surprised me.
Cool. Thank you. Next.
Game Revolution gave it 0% with the line, "We're not laughing with you guys, we're laughing at you."
Oh, God. That's a good harsh review. There's nothing better than a good harsh review of something. The game company, game magazines especially, were very good for them.
What I feel bad for is there'll be people that will develop these games and they'll put their life and their heart and their soul into them. You know? That's the bit that hurts, I think, the most for me.
And some of the body fluids.
Yeah. Like, there's people, like, they would have, like... I've been watching a lot of videos about ill-fated games lately, thanks to Matt McMuscles.
Yeah.
And, it's a lot of love that goes into really crap games. Like when the crunch hits and they're sleeping in the office for 7 days a week. And it's just, you feel bad when the game comes out and is garbage. It's like, oh, guys, I know you grafted and you did your best, but this is bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a shame. But sometimes, you're right, it doesn't. I mean, there was the one he did about Earthworm Jim 3D. And it's all the effort they put in, but it's just like, cool, Earthworm Jim 3D, it kind of works. It's got some issues, yeah. Who's our competition? Banjo-Kazooie. Forget it,
mate. Bin that off.
Anyway, Rikishi has apparently taken on both Edge and Christian. So that's very impressive, but he's a big guy. He immediately stink faces Edge before they start the double teaming. They brawl outside. Edge tries a flying crossbody, but hits the ring post in a crazy spot. Rikishi wins via countout, but here's Hottie and the returning Grandmaster Sexay. Scotty gets the worms, but his vet's got the pills. And then there's dancing, and I've written yay here, which I mean must mean it was a good time afterwards. So, yes, this marks the return of Grandmaster Sexay after being injured. They are now feuding with Rikishi. No, they're not, you idiot. They're teaming up with Rikishi to take on Edge and Christian. And that also marks the sad end of the very short-lived but very funny remembered Scotty Duhotty light heavyweight champion reign. Any
exactly.
thoughts there, Tom?
I love the pop. The pop for the return of Too Cool was great. That they're just stars, aren't they? They're just stars.
They certainly are. If only Edge and Christian would find someone they could team up with in amusing six-man tags. Backstage, Stephanie and Tori are trying to buy a Mountain Dew in a segment disguised as an advert. Or is an advert disguised as a segment? I forget. Lugs. But Bubba interrupts, and they call him pathetic for picking on women. Bubba takes a swing as Steph walks away, but Devon warns him about the repercussions. The camera zooms in on Bubba smirking, and the crowd pops. Yay! Violence against women! Yay! I think my mum's babysitter had the right idea there, to be honest with you. PTC did nothing wrong. But you know who else didn't do anything wrong, Tom?
Go on.
Lugs!
Yes!
I'm a Lugs man. Doop, doop. I'm a
Lugs man.
Doop, doop. I love to cook them. I love to boil them. I love to broil them. Unsure if it's different. But for fun, I'm going to grill them, then going to stick them in a bun, because I'm a Lugs man. Yeah. Trish Stratus tongues Bubba, but gets put through a table. I'm a Lugs man. Lugs man. Lugs. Man, man, man. Lugs. Lugs man.
At no point are you wearing them, which makes me laugh even more.
Why would you wear Lugs, you weirdo?
Yeah, broil them, dickhead.
You not had... Lugs à l'orange.
Lugs à l'orange.
Which is French for lugs and an orange. Je mange lugs.
Which is French for eating standing up. Lugs à l'orange. Yeah. John. We haven't spoken to you yet, John. John, Photoshop at John Eiley. Hello, mate. Love
John,
you.
John, it's time to take your pills.
Take your pills, John. It is today's topic, lugs à l'orange. Lugs à l'orange.
Oh, just a dude eating a lugs, whichever's easiest.
Just someone eating some shoes with no context.
Mmm, lugs.
For my mouth.
Just like my mama used to make.
Mum, I used to come home for Christmas and my mum would make us a lovely pair of lugs.
My old mum's a lugs man. He wears a lugsman's hat.
I try to make lugs for me sen, but no one makes lugs quite like me mum. When I go home, back to the mining lugs. Town that is Newcastle.
After I walk back from London, it only took me 3 hours.
I eat my lugs. I eat my shoes to hide evidence.
Back in the day, I eat me lugs and the bins weren't plastic. And we just disabled the union, but we had our lugs.
We all had lugs for our dinners.
That's right. Did you hear us complain? Did we bugger? Probably should have, with the benefit of hindsight.
And there you have.
Yeah, that's it. I can hear that.
Coming home from work that time.
Lugs.wav were playing.
Me mum would pick us a lovely pair of lugs.
Oh, mum, these are proper lugs, these, like.
My brother, when he got older, used to make lugs, but he'd get some cheaper versions from Aldi. Not the same as the lugs that my mum would make us.
Exactly. Hammond, we call him, as that were his name. He'd eat them German lugs, as they call them, Das lugs.
Das
and
boots.
Me mother, me dear old mother with 3 teeth left in her head, she wouldn't speak for him for 3 years.
We were real people.
Aye.
It were real
we
times.
Were.
Oh, two.
That we were.
Oh, two priority.
That's right. My mum ate a packet of cigarettes and a carton of lugs every day, and she's a head in a jar at the right old age of 96.
She lived to 200.
Do you hear her complain? Do you, bugger?
No, I've taped her mouth shut.
The only time she complained was when I put on The Rock, the People's Champion, and she went, "Hey, lad, it's a worse than S.A. Rios, this."
That is an all-time favourite, Hand.
I can't believe people listen to this.
It's free. This is free.
With good reason.
I emphasise, this is free. Do not complain if we are off tangent. It is free.
Without the tangent, it's just wrestling.
Mate, one day...
Speaking of which...
I'm going to put this behind a paywall one day.
And people go, they'll be dancing in the streets when that happens.
Right, here's a question. If we put behind a paywall, me and Matthew, for 3 hours doing test jokes, who would buy it?
Dude, we'll have 2 people I know who buy
it. I'm just putting it out there into the world. If there was an OnlyFans, which was just me and Matthew doing test jokes for a day, who would invest?
A day?
A day, mate.
A Twitch stream of army men on the screen and effing...
Whilst we're playing, one of us is dressed as Test. Steph!
Dressed as Test.
Steph, this is the worst army men game.
And I've played all of them. I pre-ordered army men.
Test would pre-order army men.
Why do you pre-order it? Who am I to sold out? No. Like, mate, this episode of SmackDown. Look at that segue.
Mate, there's an Army Men game coming out next week. If it sells out, just get the other one.
Steph, I rented Army Men from Blockbusters. I said, when do you want this brought back? They said, don't worry about it.
They said, just throw it into the void.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hardy Boys versus TNA.
There we go.
In a match, right? I could hear the angry people in the background. Hardy Boys versus TNA in a match voted most likely to have the commentators talking about the main event. Albert gets a big-ass powerbomb on Jeff. The third of the night, maybe break those up, just saying. Alola tries to get Albert over by talking about how big his head is. Hey, Tom, after COVID and everything, we should buy tickets for this event, right? There's no champions announced, but there's this dude with a head so big, you have to see it in person to see how big it is.
I'm down for that. I'm very much, like, come see. I mean, this is not how freak shows worked in the 1800s. Yeah, literally. Come see the man with the massive head. This is the greatest show.
Everyone come to the greatest show.
One of you down with the clone.
Some nice bumps from the Hardys, and it's the match length is slowly increasing for matches like this. In the end, Albert argues with the referee, causing his head to swell up to gargantuan sizes. It's judged on his mood. And this allows Jeff to swanton bomb Test, who was pinning Matt at the time. And in post-match, Test and Albert double team to remind everyone Test has a nice elbow, which is why he's employed.
Did you like how non-existent the pop was for TNA because Trish wasn't there?
Yeah, because they were still recovering from the Backlash 2000 watch-along and going, so Albert, not really, Albert, did you really puke on yourself? Why do you have food all over your shirt?
Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's lugs. Oh, no.
Lugs anyway. Would never make you sick. Lugs always stays down. Lugs, a meal that stays down.
Some spooky music plays to reveal Shonan the Barbarian.
Oh, and yes!
Tony Chimble's having a laugh with this. Parts unknown, weight unknown. We haven't heard that in a long time.
In two moments in this bit, I popped. And the first one was Chimble's announcing and the deadpan delivery of, bet you haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, there's only Tony Chimble can do.
I want to think Chimble, that's Chimble going off-piste. I don't think that's Chimble making that up as he goes along.
He's letting people know, no, don't worry, that this is, you know, in case this is your first time watching SmackDown live, it's like, don't worry, this is supposed
to be. This is a nudge and a wink to the camera, innit? This is right. Looking down the lens and going, wow. The first 35 seconds of this I want to talk about, because we've got the Chimble announcement, which had me nearly dead. And then Shonan talked.
Yeah.
And, mate, why is he Welsh?
Crush my ears beneath my feet, I will show no mercy. I'm Shonan
the Barbarian.
Yeah, that bit was, it sounds like Anthony Hopkins in the last 10 years. Right, what accent will you be using in this film, Anthony Hopkins? All of them. Kind of, if Wales had a Yorkshire. Okay, that's what can stick. And then the next sentence, I'm Australian. Right.
And this time, I'm a Welsh barbarian. John, Shonan in Gavin and Stacey. That I'm Shonan the Barbarian. Beautiful, mate. Shonan's Welsh. So like 35 seconds in, that intro, Big Show talking as a Welsh barbarian, and then Paul Buchanan, who comes out of the ring. Like, I just assumed this would just be like Shonan squashing somebody. But here's Paul Buchanan, who just twats him to death with a nightstick. I don't know why it made me laugh so much. But I think we've just introduced this new character, and the first thing we see of him is the back of Bull Buchanan's head, just battering it with a nightstick.
He's trying to get the Welsh out of South Africa.
Oh, carry on with the match. Carry on with the...
Bloody hate these barbarians. And so he hits him with the nightstick before the match even starts, which causes Big Show to instantly turn serious and as he starts destroying Bull. Showstopper, no pin because there was no match. And then, well, it's the Big Show WF Aggression CD, now available at Virgin Megastores as we speak. And this is such an effective gimmick. Not Shonen, obviously, but Big Show showing up. Hey, I'm having a laugh with my wacky accents. And then some guy going, that's not funny. Him going, oh yeah, I'll show you funny. And then sparking him out. They could have kept this formula going forever. I think. Maybe they would have run out of things to spoof, but like, hey guys, it's Fortnite Big Show.
Wacky gimmick followed by battering of said person.
Wubba lubba wub wub, Big Show. Yeah, you know, that's it. And someone goes, I don't get this reference. Oh, yeah. Showstopper. Yeah, it could still be doing it.
Yeah, I guess it would work. I
shouldn't
work.
Be in charge of a wrestling company.
You should, mate.
Backstage, Vince McMahon talks to Hollywood Hebner.
If he's not on the screen, we should be asking, where's Hebner?
Vince wishes him good luck. Oh, that was it. I don't know why I typed that out.
Good lugs.
Good. Vince, Hebner, I'm sorry to interrupt your meal. Sorry, I'm out of the laces anyway, Vince. So what do you want? Slips up like spaghetti.
I'm at the laces anyway. So what do you mean? Okay, all right. Can we, for a second, I know we've been laser focused on SmackDown this week, but can we break away for a second to discuss how you would eat a lugs? And also, before we do that, is lugs a plural? Or if I'm eating one lugs boot, is it called a lug?
It's like sheep. Both the singular and the plural.
Right, so one is called a lugs and two is called a lugs. Because my brain would suggest that one shoe is called a lug and together they are lugs.
That's just silly.
I know, right? So how would you eat a shoe? That's Matthew leaving. The sound of a door slamming in the distance.
I don't know. First, I'll make sure I'd have all my ingredients and spices, like my cumin and my paprika.
Okay.
You know, ready there. I'd boil the hell out of it.
Yeah, or broil.
exactly. Broil is an option, Tom.
I would sous vide mine.
If it's the weekend, I'd definitely be looking at broiling my shoe. To weekday, I'll just stick with boiling. And yeah, I'd probably do that, soak it up. Not necessarily to boil it for flavor or anything like that, to show how much I hated the lugs at that point, to be honest with you.
Oh, it would be a punishment thing rather than like a preference on eating.
I would boil it to make sure it was dead.
Does it let out a scream when you put it in hot water?
Yeah, the soul visibly leaves the lugs.
The soul leaves the shoe!
And that's when you know it's ready to be eaten.
The soul leaves, I get it.
And you've got to help sometimes, if you don't see the soul after a few minutes, you've got to put it in a glass coffin. You need to be careful when you're doing lug preparation. It's not a laughing matter, Tom.
Does the lugs float to the top of the water when it's cooked? A bit like ravioli?
No, Tom. That's how it tricks you into thinking it's dead. It gets little cartoon eyes that look like X's. It's like, oh, I'm at the top. I must be dead. You go, nah, mate. This isn't my first rodeo.
What does it do?
If you boil it and then the soul comes out, then it actually sinks. So it goes up. And then it comes down. Rather like the state of this SmackDown review.
So the second time that it rises to the top, like Noki, is that when it's good to go?
Christ. Yes.
Okay. And then would you eat like the from front to back or top to bottom? Would the laces be a starter? Would you say?
I start with the laces, but I know some people who like to blend the laces with the sole.
Oh, God. do you have sauce with it?
Well, I'm not going to have it dry. I'm not a weirdo, Tom. As much gravy as I can fit on my plate.
I don't have gravy and sauce, you madman. I just don't know, sometimes if you have it with ketchup, whether people call you a philistine.
Ketchup?
Just think, like, if you ever eat your lugs with ketchup, people call you a philistine. Like, and you're ruining the flavour of the lugs.
You say this in this weird lugs fantasy we've got going to see how long it can go, but on a serious matter, is he awake? No. My housemate has some really expensive rum, like some top shelf liquor.
Are you suggesting that you drank it?
No. Okay. No, it's exactly what I'm not doing. Even in the podcast, he has no chance to listen to. He's not going to do that. And I watch as he opened one of them. I went, oh, get in. I'm going to see what this smells and looks like. And he takes it out. He sniffs it, puts some in a glass, and he's going to add some a mixer to it. I'm like, all right, fair enough. Okay. I have mine straight, but that's just me. And he had some very posh Coca-Cola to it. And I went, all right, that makes sense with this, you know, triple figure rum to add, you know, it's going to have roller cola to it, fine. And then he, after adding that, he filled up the rest of the glass with 40 pence pound stretcher pineapple juice.
Oh, no.
And I just went, Which is kind of like adding ketchup to lugs.
It is, isn't it? It's the same thing. That's what everybody thinks. I believe that's where the phrase comes from. It's like adding ketchup to lugs.
Yeah, you can lead a lugs to water, but
you can't eat the laces.
I've got to make sure it's drowned and sacrificed to the lugs god. All right, look, enough. Crash Holly is backstage. Happy he doesn't have to defend his title or listen to his podcast anymore. So he goes into a bouncy castle. Yay! And he takes on Dean Malenko. Wait, what? They actually start doing a move sequence here. He actually bounces off the bouncy castle walls as if they were ropes. Crash somehow manages a chin buster. Some good logic there. He escapes. Crash Holly takes the chair he used to get in and out of the bouncy castle. I'm not sure if you noticed this, Tom. Dean follows, and I have no idea if this is a planned spot or not, but because Dean didn't see him take away the chair, Dean absolutely eats poop on the concrete.
Oh, he just
going out.
Stacks it, doesn't he? Absolutely stacks it.
It just completely takes a completely crazy bump for a bouncy castle brawl. They brawl back into the arena properly, where kind of off camera, Dean argues with the official over a two count. So the referee pushes him into a roll up, and thankfully Crash kicks out. Jesus Christ, that's three times in one night, Tom. We've had the referee pushing the rest of the half. I have no idea if there was a bet on or whatever, but I don't know why I have the exact same spot three times in one bloody night. Anyway, a guy with the hottie hat, it's got to do hottie hat, and hair, has to be shoved out of the way by security, causing commentators to talk about him on the air, which is nice. Dino gets a superplex, but then Perry Saturn runs in to try and get the win. And when the Radicals start arguing, Crash hits Dean with a bin and legs it as Perry and Dean slug away. A lot to process here, Tom, but I can hear you furiously typing away lugs recipes. What did you think?
I'm a bit sad to see Malenko in the hardcore championship division. I mean, it feels like a step down because he's just been putting on some classic wrestling with Scotty Too Hotty, and they've been playing to his strength so beautifully. And now it feels like he's sort of in the mix with like the other random mid-carders. It would be a bit like the modern day equivalent of seeing Timothy Thatcher chasing R-Truth for the 24/7 title, in the sense that you've got a guy who is technically proficient at wrestling, and instead of 100% going to town and capitalizing on that, you're just kind of shoving him in with mid-carders and for a comedy bit. I think Dean was fine. I just know that Dean is capable of lots more, and sad to see the Radicals explode at this point as well, like the somewhat mega powers they are.
Yeah, I think it was actually a mistake to have Crash Holly wrestle Dean Malenko in a bouncy castle because neither of them are Big Show sized. So you lost perspective and you're like, are these normal sized people? Is this a really big bouncy castle? Or like what? He was like, no. I guess Dino was the only guy who could do that spot and make it work because otherwise it's going to tip over like a raft. But at the same time, it's like, Okay, Dean, you're going to wrestle the other small guy on the roster, and neither are you going to look small or big. You're going to look like two undergrown men in a bouncy castle. Also, you're the light heavyweight champion. And that segues into an interesting segment, because I've seen people tweeting about this. Backstage, Big Show talks to... I almost said big stage there, because I've typed in BS for backstage, but sometimes I say Big Show. So... Backstage, Big Show talks to Shane McMahon about these funny gimmicks.
Oh, this bit, man.
And Shane McMahon tears into him. Oh. Tells him how embarrassed he is for a guy who was in the main event of WrestleMania only a few weeks prior. He's pathetic. He's a pea brain. He's a waste of oxygen. He's an unmotivated slob. And none of the crowd will ever care about anything he will ever do. And rather than, you know, decapitate Shane, Big Show, who was good friends with Shane until recently, starts crying.
Do you know what sucks about this bit is that...
Was it the bit that immediately followed it when we cut the commentators who were trying to put over it as a serious incident and there's kids behind them laughing their asses off?
Yeah, that didn't help. But it's also the fact that it's a bit art imitating life at this point, isn't it? Because there is a real malaise backstage. I think malaise is the word I'm reaching for. There's a real feeling backstage that Big Show is... No one likes him. There's a disappointment about Big Show. I think it's like a year and a bit into his contract, his 10-year contract with WWF, and Vince had buyer's remorse a month later, but there's a real sense of disappointment that the Big Show hasn't been this world-beating megastar that they immediately thought he would be. That has kind of been a conversation that's been happening behind the scenes. We know he's not long away from taking some time away. And a year on from this, less than a year on, he would be sent to Ohio Valley Wrestling to train and to lose some weight. So the words that Shane McMahon is saying, you have to believe there's a truth, at least from the office towards Show. And I would imagine that's maybe Show getting upset is... I'm not saying he legitimately cried. I know he tried to cry. But like, there's probably a sense of that, of sadness about that, that you're in this amazing position and you're just considered lazy and out of shape and should have been a big star and you're not. And you probably shoulder a lot of responsibility in that circumstance, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that... You said that very well, Tom. And the fact that they've done this U-turn the night after WrestleMania where he was headlining... to, all right, you're a fat party dude now. Mm. It is working for him, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, that's good if you weren't getting a push before. You were world champion in late 99, and it just hasn't worked out for him. And we've talked about this a bunch of times because in late 99, it really was a very awkward position for everybody involved in the company. Where's Undertaker? Where's Austin? We mean Mankind wants to quit. We mean Bulldog's crap. What are we going to do? I'm going to put the title on Bloody Somebody, but we've got to have something for WrestleMania. I've got it. Fat, useless Big Show. Well, should we have him wrestle Triple H? Don't be stupid. Have him wrestle Big Boss Man. And yeah, now everything's back to normal. It's like, all right, Big Show, you can go back to the mid-card, which wasn't the plan. They were always wanting Big Show to be this world-beaten Andre the Giant act. But at the same time, it's the year 2000. You can't have a guy come out twice a week on TV and have him be Andre the Giant, who you'd see maybe in some territories, you know, you come in for a few weeks, every few months. You know, we can't have that. It's literally impossible to have that. You can't have that. But at the same time, though, look at the positives. Big Show was talented and entertaining enough to pull stuff like this off. So there's a lot of truth to it, but end up working all right in terms of stuff on TV as we get to a Judgment Day.
There was a desire to get him on TV immediately when he signed, and they were blissfully unaware how undertrained he was at that time. And the thing that sucks now is that it's taken them 20 years, but they're using the Big Show right now, i.e. he's very rarely there, he pops up every so often, he's a monster, he puts people over in a strong manner, you know. They're kind of using him the way they should have used him. Not so much the putting people over part, because I think that they should have, you know, hindsight's 2020. You should have bought him in 99. You should have had him in a position where, and I don't know whether or not his ego would have allowed. I know he was very much bound to how Hulk Hogan did things in 99, but you would have had him go away for a year and just sort of get into better shape. And he was in better shape than he was in 99, learn some of the ropes, and then in 2000, you have him come in and you just have him tear through the roster. Like, 2000 could have been the year of the Big Show, where you just have him just having matches on pay-per-view, mainly. Maybe just matches on pay-per-view. You put him with a manager and you say, he's only wrestling for big money, so he's only wrestling on pay-per-view. So if you want a piece of him, you've got to earn your slot on pay-per-view. And you just have him from January to, like, August, just decimate. And then you have him in there with someone like The Rock, and you have him beat The Rock for the WWF title, and he becomes this unstoppable creature. Like, you could have done that, but hindsight's 2020, I get that. But he just feels so lost in the shuffle at this point for somebody who could have been, like, a mega star in wrestling.
Yeah.
He's done all right, though.
we're seeing all this, like, oh, poor Big Show, wonderfully employed for 20 years. After this, and it was also funny, but people have been showing that the GIF or clip of Big Show crying and going, when you hear Netflix has cancelled your show.
Yeah, you know what? That is a real champagne problem, isn't it? For Big Show. Netflix cancelled my sitcom. That's a real champagne problem, isn't it?
Yes.
There's worse things that could be happening right now for Netflix. I wish in my life, I was in a point where the biggest problem that I had was Netflix just cancelled the second season of my sitcom.
Right.
That'd be an amazing problem to have.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Tom.
It's all right. They'll green light me one day.
If only, I think it was the lack of star power that Big Show had, to be honest with you. They need a real star, like Earl Hebner, who's up next to be interviewed by Kevin Kelly. And also The Rock is next to him, but mostly Earl Hebner.
The Heb.
The Hebby to his friends. The Rock says, give me liberty or give me death. No, give me X-Pac and Road Dogg and shove them up your candy ass if you smell a la-la-la. Main event time. Michael Cole says, this is a 3-on-2. Hell, it's 3-on-1, really. But you know what? It's 10-on-1 because the regime is ringside. Lola, don't be silly. I only count 9 at ringside. So, yes, it's Rock and Hebner versus DX. Hebner is funny, yelling at the referee and the ring ropes for not doing his job properly. Triple H is in a sling at this point with a supposed separated shoulder, but is still able to clothesline Rock. He's still able to take back bumps, though, which is amazing. The Rock holds Triple H so Hebner can get a shot in. The crowd explodes. Jesus, this is like a special house show decided to film. Like, a night with the Heb.
It does feel like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Rock removes the sling, and Triple H is able to continue wrestling because he's the man in 2000. Hebner keeps on running in to help Rock, which only allows Rock more punishment, proving that the referees are genuinely unaware of the stuff that happens behind their backs. Oh, it turns out Triple H's shoulder may not be as bad as it is claimed. I know this because Michael Cole has just started talking about it, therefore meaning it isn't true.
That's a good way to gauge that, isn't it?
All right. Hebner is threatened by Dog and Pack, so he tries to escape. But Triple H is right there. They throw him back in. The Rock recovers to unlock Rock Mode, kind of like the tank in GTA, and cleans house on everybody. And Chris Jericho, of all people, shows up to attack Triple H. In the confusion, Hebner hits X-Pac in the dick, allowing Rock to nail the Rock Bottom. Crowd losing their minds during all this Hebner-related craziness. The McMahons make Hebner watch as DX destroy Triple H. Then they throw Hebner in the ring with them so he can get destroyed. For a really long time, Hebner bleeds from the mouth, but eventually Rikishi tries to save. Show appears, still in the Shogun gear, to clean house. And then the Dudleys show up and Show's on his ass. Thanks for coming. The important ones leave, so Patterson and Briscoe are dragged in. Pat gets a stink face, and no comments are made about that, amazingly. Then Briscoe takes the powerbomb through the table, and Briscoe actually sells it, proving finally that wrestling's fake. And Hebner is stretched out. The Rock leads him out like he's Mickey in Rocky 3, and that's it. A lot of stuff going on, the typical SmackDown. Oh my God, look at the stuff happening, look at the stuff happening, it's all crazy. It's funny that it's Hebner is the special star of the show, and the fact that he's like the old man, oh God, what's his name, that would hang out with Shawn Michaels in 96.
Jose Lothario.
Yeah, Jose Lothario now will be played by the role of Earl Hebner. But it's work. It worked. This crowd ate it up with an Earl Hebner-sized spoon. And that was SmackDown. What do you think of the main event, Tom?
It was a wild main event. A very SmackDown of this era type of main event. Just wild crowd. Rock coming in and everyone going mental. Chris Jericho making the save. Leathering Vince McMahon is an interesting sight. You don't really see much Jericho-McMahon interaction. So I was to see, like...
Apart from backstage, was going, how could you hit China?
Apart from that, yeah. But to see Jericho just on the side of the camera just battering Vince McMahon was something you don't really... Was quite a surprise at how casual that was. Rikishi, Big Show and Dudley's all coming around for the cavalry here. Establishes sort of the top of the tree in WWF in 2000. It's very a very unique setup for top of the tree. You got Rock, Hebner, Obvs, Rikishi, Big Show, the Dudleys. I mean, are we maybe getting a tag on Raw? Are we getting like a 10-man tag on Raw?
Looks like it.
Which is quite nice.
Also, you know, The Rock needs somebody to help him. He can't just take on the entire Rock. Oh, no, wait, he can. He's The Rock.
He's The Rock.
Never mind, I forgot what I said.
He can just batter anyone he likes, mate. Yeah. yeah, I thought a very of-the-era way to wrap up the show this week, I thought, as we head off to other big plans down the road.
Yeah. What was the thing that you remembered from this week's episode?
From this week, I very clearly remembered Shonan. So to see him again was nice. I forgot that he was Welsh. So that was a pleasant surprise. But definitely seeing Shonan was great. Bless you. How about you? What did you remember? You remember to sneeze. Bless you.
I did remember to sneeze. It was awesome. What a great sneeze I had in the year of our Lord 2000. I also remembered Shonan. Because me and my mates, God, we weren't clever kids. Me and my mates expected Big Show to be shown on The Barbarian like every week from now on.
Yeah, I was ready for this to be the thing going forward.
Yeah.
Very sad that wasn't the case.
Which didn't make any sense because he'd literally done a different gimmick every week. He was Hogan at Backlash. He was sexy, Fat Bastard. And I forgot his name. And SmackDown a few weeks earlier. You know, now Shonan. But now I thought Shonan was the one that was going to stick. And I think at one point I changed costume 4 on No Mercy to Shonan. Which is amazing because that was way later. But anyway, yeah, so that was that. What was the thing that you forgot about this week?
I forgot how quickly Edge and Christian became assholes.
Yeah.
Like the turn seemed to happen overnight. We watched Backlash the other day and they had a little cheeky, slightly heelish win, but nothing that raised too many flags. And then this week, full blown heels complete with promo time and dickheadery. It was great to see. Just didn't realize it happened that quick.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's
how about you? What did you forget?
I forgot about El Hebner night. But you know what? In a good way. The Hebner bits reminded me why this period is so fun to watch. It was so fun to watch then, and it's so fun to rewatch now, because the continuity and storylines that would flow one week to the next, you know, the Hebner thing goes as far back as the Triple H non-match with The Rock, where, you know, The Rock decided to pin him even though it wasn't a match, and have Hebner do the 1-2-3, and have Lillian announce, yeah, he's the new champ. And have, you know, to Rich Martin SmackDown go, that wasn't a match. What is Hebner doing? And then the Jericho title change from last month to getting fired to returning. You get rewarded so well for watching every week because of the continuity and ongoing storylines. It's such a tremendous thing to rewatch. And it's probably why there's a substantial amount of people who listen to this podcast didn't watch SmackDown when it was on. But all right, listening to us, because we're going, and then this character's doing this, and this character's doing that. And what a show. What a well-put-together show. Even if the matches aren't great, or there's a daft match, or, you know, Hardcore Holly's drop-kicking people, they shouldn't be drop-kicking. There's still so much reward given for just watching.
There's a lot of reward. There's a lot of reward for that. And staying true and consistent with the product, I think, helps. Although there was one particular event that, whilst was consistent, proved inconsequential. And Math, I'm going to ask you this. A bit of show admin live on the show.
Oh.
So we've done about an hour and a half of this week on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. would you possibly have an additional hour available one day next week for the episode?
The way you've said that's confusing. What, another hour for...
Basically, do you have a little... Like, if we, would you be potentially available to record for 2.5 hours next week as opposed to one?
Oh, sure. It would have to be earlier.
Yeah, we could start earlier. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Because, and I'm springing this on you because it's a little wave brain idea that I've had and I've just corroborated. The next item on the docket for the 2000 timeline is a bit of a forgotten... I don't want to say gem because that sells it too highly. May the 6th, in the year of our Lord 2000, in London, England, in old London town.
Oh.
WWF insurrection goes down.
Is that next week?
It's in the year of our Lord and the timeline of our Lord. It is this coming Saturday.
Oh.
So what happened after this show was all the WWF lads packed a bag. Packed a couple of overnight bags and on Friday flew out to jolly old England to do a UK-only pay-per-view. Should we watch it?
As a watch-along?
Yeah.
I mean, I would usually go, but there's not much to it, to be honest with you. But I'm like, oh, wait, who cares? We're still talking crap anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure, okay. I'll watch Bill Buchanan versus Kane. Thanks so much.
In fact, here's the hot lineup. Once I log into the WWE Network, here is the hot lineup for WWF Insurrection 2000 that you'll be able to watch along with us next week. Bull Buchanan versus Kane. Yay. Too Cool versus the Radicals. Road Dogg versus Bradshaw. This is a pay-per-view. Dudley Boyz versus Rikishi and Shokishi.
Yeah.
Hardy Boyz and Edge and Christian. That might be all right. And then, oh my God, the odds are stacked against the WWF champion. It's The Rock versus Triple H and Shane McMahon.
Oh, no.
Oh, I know, right? All that goes down in London, England. And we're going to watch it next week. Shall we? Should we do it next week?
Yeah, sure.
We start it early. Get in!
Yay!
Insurrection 2000 watch along next week. Maybe there'll be a mystery guest.
Ooh.
Oh. Until then, he is at Matthew Gregg. I am at Tom Campbell. Together, we are at Cultaholic. Don't forget to join us. Crap UK paid for you next week. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.